I really appreciate that. So I'm sure the other, please be seated. Yeah, I'm sure the other, Father Scott or Father Looker, Father Scott, the senior.
Wiser,
yeah. I'm sorry. Something occurred to me, and I, we come for Friday morning priest prayer, and almost every Friday, and we gather and we sit here. We kind of take the chairs up and make a little round thing, and Father Looker had kind of us out on the outside. He was sitting back this way. I could see him looking around, and as he mentioned, we were getting a little old, and he said, you know, maybe it'd be good for you guys to scratch some testimony things down in case somebody, you know, we lose somebody. I've got some notes for your obituary. So I've got mine worked on. You know I'm teasing.
No,
right, exactly. Of course not. It's so early in the morning, how could you remember a thing? So I've kind of gotten this broken down into like the early years, the middle years, and the later years. And so let me just, Dorothy asked the question of the Wizard of Oz, and she said, where should I begin? And the Munchkin said, Dorothy, it's always best to start at the beginning, and then we're off to see the wizard. So I did want to make one comment before I get started, and it is in regard to the election, but it's not probably what you think. So would everybody agree with me that before yesterday night, we would have all thought for sure that this would not be the way it would turn out? When we were told pretty much that this is going to be a landslide and Hillary's going to win. No, I'm just saying, you would have heard that, and right? You would have heard that, and everybody heard that. Well, some people, there were a couple people that said different, but not, but the majority of people would say that. Right. So this is what I wanted to say about that. And that is one of the reasons I appreciate our church so much is because there was a real reason. The pollsters today I was watching just some of the concession speeches and this and that, just some commentary, and I noticed that the pollsters were all coming on, and some of them were making excuses, and some of them were going, we blew it. We missed the tea leaves. They blew it. They really had no idea. The reason they had no idea is because they brought their ideology. You got to listen to me carefully. Amen. They brought their ideology, their ethos. They brought that to the table, and they interpreted the messages that they were getting in that light.
Amen.
Okay, in the church, in the same way, when we pick up a Bible, the reason the Word of God is so precious, is because when we pick it up and read it, it's easy for us to read it. We can read it. There's lots of versions. There's easy versions, you know, to read. There's the King James. It's a little more difficult. But the essence of the Scriptures is the same. But to really understand what the real message is, it takes years and years of study to really dive into it, because you not only need to be able to read the words, but you have to understand the people who are giving them, the audience that they're giving it to, the message they're really trying to convey, and the essence of the time period they were in to fully understand and develop the real message and the thought that's being given. Okay? Now, when you bring your own ideology to that, and you bring your own ideas of how it should be, you go down a road sometimes where you can get yourself into big trouble fast. Okay? One of the things I really... Now, that's because you look at it from a lens from our own wells, really. So what I really appreciate about our church is the gentleman that founded, the original guys that really started diving into the church and the body, the whole encompassing body, the work of the Word of God, how it was formulated, how it came into being, and how it applied to the lives of early Christians. How did the formation begin? Because it always begins at the beginning. Always. So I always appreciate our church because one of the classes that we take is in early church history, and we just get a little flavor of, we get a little flavor of the early church fathers, the fathers of the church, and they're called that by all Christians, not just Catholics, but Baptists, the church fathers of the church fathers. So when you look at the body of the word, then you get a more holistic picture. And you're able to draw out of it and not bring it into it, because you can see the history. So I appreciate our church so much because we've taken the bishops, they were pastors at the time, but when they really began studying the early church, and they began to realize that there really are three powerful streams. That have always been there. And you could see evidence of that everywhere in the church, but it just wasn't any one place. Not really. It was happening, it was bubbling up in the Catholic Church. It was bubbling up in the Episcopal Church. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to make that kind of comparison. Sometimes when you can read things into the Bible that it's not really saying. That's why it's so important to be in a good Bible base. That's what I love about the CEC. That's really what I wanted to say. Because I don't have a lot. Well, I got a little bit of time to give you my obituary. I know. Believe me. So, when I first, I've always said that if anybody's going to heaven, it's going to be me, because I've got all the bases covered. And let me help you understand what I'm trying to communicate to you. Okay, so when I was born, I was baptized in the Episcopal Church. My mother was an Episcopalian. My grandmother was Episcopalian. I went to El Macias. That's where my grandmother went to church. I love that church. Yeah, and my grandfather was a Lutheran who went to the church. And so he would take me to church every other Sunday because I would come up and spend the summers with my grandmom and granddad. Well, so I was born as Episcopalian. I went to the Episcopal Church, but I kind of grew up a little bit as a young lad. My granddad would take me to church, and it was impactful to me as a Lutheran. And then I, in elementary school, began attending with a friend of mine, a little friend, we would go to a Presbyterian church. And I'm not done. you might not make it, but when you get this resume, you're going to be going, Father Ed, I had no idea. So then I went to Jupiter Christian High School in Jupiter, Florida, which is a Methodist ministry. Right, I got to the Methodist, and that's where I became a Christian. Just real quick, I was on a date, I was 16, and I was ready to do some smooching, and my girlfriend, she was the prettiest girl in the school. She said, I went in for the first plant, and she looked at me and she said, "You're not a Christian, are you?" Well, that'll take the wind out of your sails, just as I'm just saying. Whoa, talk about a mood wrecker. This isn't going anywhere. Oh, I reassured her. Believe me, I am a Christian. Love Jesus. Let's do some smooching. It didn't go well. So, needless to say, that night I went home and God just, it was just like, wham. Because I was going to the school and, I'd been a Christian, but I'd really never I'd never been born again. I didn't know what that meant. We were talking about it at, in the Methodist school in ninth grade. So I'd listen to it, and I'd say, oh, yeah, I do all that, whatever. And I wasn't attending church much occasionally, but, so this was in 10th grade now, and anyway, I went home that night and gave my heart to the Lord, and it was an amazing radical transformation experience, and it was great, and I've never forgotten that night. So, and that person who challenged me that day, and I sure appreciate her ministry, and she actually became a missionary. So, and I upgraded. So, during my time, Darla asked me just as hard of questions. Believe me. Harder questions. So anyway, then Drew, to kind of get the whole circle almost complete now, I became a Baptist, and I was a Baptist, and then became a. I was the song director at Community Baptist Church. It was a little church like this, and we built a building. I mean, I stuccoed the outside. Never stuccoed anything in my life, but they said, "All you got to do, Ed, is do this." And so I'm slapping it on there. I was doing youth, and I was directing. Let's turn to page 384 and stand up and sing "Stand Up for Jesus." That's what I would do, and did that, and then somewhere along the way, I had decided that, because this radical transformation that God wanted me to be in the ministry. I don't really know when that happened. I can't really tell you. I just had this, may have happened when I was at the Presbyterian Church. I don't really remember. But I always thought that, there was this call to ministry. And there was, this kind of nagging thing. And so I went to Bob Jones University and was singing and doing a singing thing. And I was kind of checking it out to see if that's where I wanted to go to college. And so you all know Bob Jones is in Greenville, South Carolina. Well, I'm not much of a military man. And I discovered that, at 10 o'clock at night, you had to be like at attention by your bed, blah, 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 standing there. And then at like 10:01, another bell went off and you got in your bed. And then at 6 o'clock, the bell went off and you got out of your bed. And I was like, man, this is just too much for me. And so I said, nah, I don't want to go there. So it was wise. So I decided to go to Arlington Baptist College in Fort Worth, Texas. And that school is an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing institution. I had four really tremendous years there. I started out at Graham's Men and Boys. I met a friend. Some of you know Ed Kirkland. I met him at the Graham's Men and Boys, and we struck up a great friendship, and we're still great friends today. And anyway, we had the best of time. But my second year in seminary, I became the youth janitor children's bus minister at First Baptist Church downtown Fort Worth. We were struggling. They were struggling. We needed to get out of there. The church had split, we were just struggling. So I was doing the youth. I was the janitor, the children's minister, and we had three buses. On Saturdays, we went out and knocked on doors, and we gave out gum, and we invited people to church, and went soul winning, and we did all of that. And so I did that for 3 years at the First Baptist Church. Homer and Omer Lindsay, twins, pastors, they were quite a pair. And so I graduated in 1979. Now, I'm going to just tell you one quick story of some miraculous things, and it may not seem that way to you, but the school I went to you know, in the Baptist world, in the church world, there are, you know, the First Baptist Church had founded Arlington. It was called Bible Baptist Seminary, I believe, originally. I don't remember. It's been a while. 1979 when I graduated. So, so the school was started there, the school I was attending, and it eventually became Arlington Baptist College. They moved out of the church. They bought some property up on a real halt, the tallest point in Arlington. You could look into downtown Fort Worth. It was 10 miles away, but you could look into the city from up on the big hill. But anyway, so the church and the school, they split, and there was a lot of hurt feelings, like nasty hurt feelings. Well, I didn't know that. I just was the youth pastor there and kind of discovered all this and found out that, you know, the church and the school, there was a tremendous amount of tension still there. So my friend Gene and I, we prayed for 2 years that there would be reconciliation. And in our senior year, God worked out something, and it was absolutely, there was a prophetic, not a prophetic, but a guy that did, you know, end time prophecy stuff, not, you know, Bible, like, not Hal Lindsey, but one guy like Hal Lindsey. And we ended up getting the school and the church back together, and it was a real time of healing, and I think they still kind of work together a little bit, even to this day. So I know that's not really a big deal, but I just remember, you know, we prayed, and we actually, you know, God used us to put all this together, and things really happened. Well, after I got out of school, graduated, moved to Jacksonville, Florida, we were going to be, I was going to get into the printing ministry with my friend Ed. We were going to be worldwide printing evangelists, and it didn't quite work out that way, so I ended up in the restaurant business. But the reason is, and this is really the story, you know, I got out of school, God was just blessing me. I mean, it was just amazing. And came to Jacksonville. My grandmother wasn't doing very well, so I came here, and I was pretty much rejected by the Baptist church. I wanted to be a youth pastor, so I went to churches all over town, and every church I went to said, well, you're not married, you can't be in our youth department. I said, but I've been a youth pastor. I mean, I started with 8 kids. I left, we had 100, okay? Yeah. And, I mean, it was great. We had 40 kids in our children's church, the puppet ministries, all of that going on. And I was over there, and then we had 3 buses going. But anyway, so I came here, and I was really rejected by the church. And so I said, okay, God, whenever you find me a wife, give me a call. Don't you talk to God that way, or is it just me? Just let me know. That's what I was. I was just let me know. I was mad. I was mad. I was really disappointed. I was heartbroken. I had a degree, an accredited degree from a Baptist college. I couldn't get a job because I wasn't married. Now, today it's a little different, but then in 1979, oh, no. Thank God for Homer and Omer, because they overlooked that, and they were helpful in my Christian formation. They gave me a tremendous amount of opportunities to speak and to work with kids and young people and children and adults. And, you know, you just don't get that kind of training at school. You don't get that. This is hands-on, real work. Do the ministry and find out if God is calling you, right? Because you'll know by your fruits. You'll know. And it just felt so good, so right to do that. And so the pain that I felt was tremendous. And so I didn't reject God. I just said, you know, that's basically what I said. Just let me know. And why don't you call me then, or later. And so time went on, and I didn't really attend church much. I got real involved in running restaurants and growing my career. Then something happened. I just was working for Bennigan's in 82. And so it was kind of the height of the Fern Bar era. you know, Bennigan's over on Atlantic Boulevard, it was jamming. I mean, some of you guys may have come in there and partied like crazy, because back in those days, it was crazy in there. And, there was a whole lot of snow, you know what I mean, going. And, So anyway, I know, I'm going, honey, I'm going. I got 10 minutes. The end goes quick. So I got kind of bogged down in that. And then I'd never done this before. I'd gotten a call from a guy that I knew at Wendy's. He called me and said, hey, we started this new restaurant called Ryan's. We're getting ready to open another one. Why don't you call Eddie Irvin, and why don't you call him and see if you can get started with us? And I was at the point in my life where I was desperately needing to get out of where I was. You know what I mean? So they wanted to promote me. Bennigan's wanted to promote me. They were going to send me to Tampa. I had called Eddie Irvin and had a nice conversation. He said, I'll call you and let you know. Okay. So I was, this day had come where I was going to leave and go to Tampa for Bennigan's. And the day before, I just said to God, okay, God, this is what I said. Okay, God, I'm going to leave for Tampa. And if you don't call me, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to go be a Bennigan's manager and party my life away. That's what I was going to do. And this is the truth. So I got to leave for Tampa. It's, I don't know, Friday morning, whatever, to go check it out. Phone hadn't rung. And you didn't have cell phones back then, or beepers, in fact. You had a phone at your house. Imagine that you had to dial. I know if the kids were in here, they'd be laughing now. Anyway, I fleeced God. I said, if you are done with me, and I completely get it, I understand. Because I had run my life right off the rails. Okay. Right? But I was still talking to him, because I felt like I wasn't mad at him. I was just mad at his people, because they rejected me. And I remember I walked, I was about to leave. I was really about to leave. I had to leave at 2 o'clock or something. I don't remember why, but I had to be somebody down there to meet the manager or whatever. I don't know. I got all the way out to the out. There was an inside door and an outside door. I got to the inside door. I looked at the phone. Didn't ring. I said, okay, God. This is it. I'm going to hit that door, and that's it. I'm not looking back. I got to the outside door. I looked back. Didn't ring. Started to close that door. Phone rings. It's God. No, it's God. This is Eddie Irvin. I need you to start. You know what I did? I jumped up and down. I hung up that phone. I got in the car. I drove to Tampa. I took the weekend off. Sat in a hotel room. Ate bonbons. Like, me and God, we're tight. You heard me. You heard the cry of my heart. So, anyway, then I stayed involved in the Ryan's thing and was moving up in that organization. And I was assistant manager over at Blanding Boulevard store, and there was this cute little brunette. She was scooting around the store, and she caught my eye. She was a little hostess, and her name was Darla Farmer. And so I had a fancy for that little girl. And anyway, long story short, she left the store. She left, and she thought I was weird, and she ended up leaving. And I didn't didn't forget about her. And then I transferred stores, and her mother was working for me. And then, I don't know if you were there or not before your mother or not, but I can't remember. But anyway, we had a first date and a first kiss and all that. So we fell in love, and we got married and had a bunch of kids, and, and that's it. But now to complete the whole thing, Darla was Assembly of God. Zoom, he's in. Punch the ticket. No, I know. But you know what? I didn't really wasn't aware of them, so they don't count. But along that way, I had discovered St. Peter's. And back then, St. Peter's had this tremendous Sunday night service. And it was weird because guys would be out they'd be dancing in the aisle. And I was a Baptist, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing. But I said, there's something about this place. There's something to this. I don't know what it is, but when I come in, man, I feel the presence. I know that the Lord is here, and he's speaking to me, right? Did any of you all ever go to St. Peter's back in the day? I thought you might have. Yeah. So it was just great. But then I started dating Darla, and then I stopped going there and would go to her church with her on Sunday nights, and it was kind of like going to a Baptist church, but a little bit more excited occasionally. So it was okay. So it was a little more familiar. Well, then we got married, and Eddie Irvin's wife, Carol, invited us to St. David's. And, I wasn't real crazy about staying at the Assembly of God church. That's a whole other story. But and Darla was kind of with me. She drug me around to a few other Assembly of God churches, but we just never felt comfortable. But then we went to St. David's, and this place was so weird. The first day we're there, they're dancing. They got a group up front, they're singing to the Lord's Prayer and doing hand motions, and but we walked out of that place that first Sunday, and I looked at Darla and said, "Man, that was great." Darla said, "It was strange, but I liked it." And so, right, you remember? And right. We were like, "Wow, we're pretty clueless on that, but really seemed good, a little cultish, but great." Just kidding. No, it didn't. And anyway, so we got involved. So Darla got real involved in St. David's, and I would go, as much as I could. And
marketing for next year.
Right. So I then while we were transitioning from St. David's to Church of Messiah, I'd met with Dale because I was starting to feel this tap on the shoulder again. Hey, remember we had a deal? Remember what you told me? Well, I had mentioned it to Darla that I might have been called by God, but it was probably over lunch at Ryan's, and I sat down, had some coffee, and then had to go do some more work, and just blew in, blew out. I let her know. She's fully informed. And so I met with Dale, and I told him that I was going to Liberty University. I was going to be a psychotherapist. Yeah, right. So I figured I could work that deal with God, because that would be ministry, and it would count, right? Didn't? He was like, "Oh, okay." He was Father Dale at the time. He was like, looking at me like, "Okay, if that's what you think God's saying to you, okay." I said, that's it. Just bless me. And anyway, that didn't really work out too good. And then one day I was walking in the church over on Arlington Expressway, and Doug Woodall, I was just walking by, and Doug said, "Hey, Father," he said, "Hey, Ed, come here." He said, "Is God calling you into the ministry?" I said, "Oh, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, but no, I don't think so." And anyway, so after that, we went on a Tahila trip down to Jamaica. And we came back, and we had this powerful time in ministry. And I mean, God was moving. It was tremendous. He always amazes us, amazed us. And he always amazes me. Anyway, we were coming back, and I was sitting by Vanita at lunch in the Miami airport, and by Vanita Goodman. Many of you know and remember Vanita. And she, I was saying, well, you know, I was kind of telling her this little story about that. And she said, you know, God's calls are not, I mean, if he calls you, that's it. He's not taking it back. There are no go backs. There's a call. And I was like, daggered in the heart. I'm like, ugh. So I was working at Eddie's. And so I had to drive the blue caddy from my house over in Colony Cove way out to Ponte Vedra every day, and I'd listen to Christian music. And I promise you, every song that came on was saying, Ed, I'm speaking to you. You're supposed to be a priest in this church. Change the channel, wrong channel. I'd put it back on there. Next song. Same message, all the way out there, all the way back, for weeks. So I finally said, okay, I'll talk to the bishop. And I talked to the bishop, and he said, okay, didn't know what took you so long. And so I became a deacon. I became a deacon in 1998. And started the ministry there. I was doing the youth with Kevin and so many others, Kevin and Amanda and Sabelle and David and Deborah and Brian and, did I miss anybody? Well, there was a lot of people. We had tremendous times together, and we did the Gathering of Champions. We did that. We did some really good things. And then on November the 10th, 2000. On November the 9th, walked into the church, and I've been a pretty busy guy. So I'm now at this point I'm selling bread for Winter Bread out of New York, and I'm working on the phones all the time, and I come by the church for some reason, and Bishop Dale's there, kind of cash. I want to say it was like a Thursday or something, and the ordination was Friday. He said, hey, are you, he said, we're thinking about bowling tomorrow night. Are you up for bowling? I said, well, he'd never asked me to go bowling before. I'm like, well, I'm not a great bowler, but yeah, I'd love to go bowling. Sure. I'll ask Darla, we'll go bowling tomorrow night. Okay. Starts laughing. I'm like, what's up? He goes, you're being ordained tomorrow night as a priest. I'm like, oh, that's right. Don't you remember the bowling ball under my chair? So when I walk out, you know, you don't have any of this one, you just got this. They had a chair for me, like right down in the front, and under the chair was a bowling ball. I'm like, those kids. I think it was Sabelle that put it there. So, 16 years ago tomorrow, I was on November the 10th, 2000, I became a priest in God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it sure has been a great ride, and it's just an honor to be a part of your lives and to be a part of this church. And I've been so amazed at how God's used some little things to keep us together, and eventually I know we're gonna grow, and we're starting to grow again. And under Father Scott's leadership, I know we're gonna find that home, and we're gonna build it. And it's not gonna be a monument; it's gonna be a place where people can find rest, peace, hope, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All the days of their life, their kids will be able to do it, their grandkids, and it'll be a great place. Amen. So, in case anything happens, I'll just give this to you. Do you just read right from it? All right. Amen. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right.